Okay, so first, can you tell us your name, your position at the ECCC, and a brief summary of what you are doing there?
I am Elisabeth Simonofor. I was the international lead co-lawyer for civil parties at the ECCC from January 2011 until December 2013. Okay, 3 years, and I stayed in Cambodia for 3 years, like the lead co-lawyer for civil parties. And now I'm a judge in France. I was a lawyer before, and when I came back, I tried to be a judge, and I am a judge now in France.
Okay? Congratulations, that's great. So as an introduction for people who maybe are not familiar with civil party participation, can you tell us what a civil party is?
Yes, because it's something from civil law. Civil party is a real party, the same as prosecutor and defense in a trial, so that the victims can appropriate the trial, and they can write submissions, they can ask for witnesses, they can ask for some rules or some rights sometimes, they can protest is a... good. Okay, they can protest against some rights has by defense, or and that different from prosecutor, that they're placed as victims and trying to appropriate the trial as victims, and they bring their voice.
Great. Thank you so much for explaining that for us. I expect a lot of our viewers will be from common law systems, so we appreciate the help. So civil party representation started with the ECCC as far as international criminal proceedings go. Can you tell us about some of the challenges working with civil party attorneys, or challenges more generally that you encountered at the ECCC?
I think the first challenge was to have a real place, because it's not common law lawyers are not very comfortable with the civil party. They don't understand, even prosecutors, and they don't really understand the place. So the first challenge was this challenge. As lead co-lawyers with Pik Ong, who was the national lead co-lawyers for civil party, we had to work with lawyers who were there before us as lawyers for attorneys for victims, and we had to try to work with them and make a place for them. That was not so easy, because only Pik Ong and me can represent civil parties. But we worked with the attorneys, and finally they understood our place and how it could be interesting to have a collective representation. So it was also a challenge. Another challenge was reparations, but perhaps we will speak about this later, because reparations were a great challenge for us.
Yeah, let's talk a little more about that. So you as a lead co-lawyer were a very important part of advocating for reparations, both on the judicial side of things and in other ways. So what do you think about the reparations that were implemented? Do you think they reflected the civil party's interests?
I think it was more than a civil party interest, strictly meaning. I think it was for civil parties, of course. I think about the stupas and psychological head and these things. But I also think that there was a meaning of legacy and how to leave something about this history, Pol Pot and Nunchia and the others, and I think it was important to leave something for all the country and also the world. So reparations were more than civil parties' interests, and it was impossible to have material reparations because it was too late and it was too difficult to implement. So, but I think that it was something for civil parties' interests also, of course.
Okay, cool. Good to know. What other factors besides civil party interests do you think influence the reparations process? And you've mentioned a few, but is there anything else that you think was significant?
In reparations, you mean?
Yeah, in how the reparations were chosen. Like, what were the factors that influenced the decision about reparations?
How we decided, you mean? Why we decided to choose this thing more than this thing? You mean? Yeah, you know that something which was very abnormal in this trial was how we can implement it. So, and it was absolutely abnormal. We said a lot of things about this during the trial. And so we tried to find money, and sometimes we find money only for something, not for another thing. Perhaps we could have more direct reparations for civil parties if we have found money for, I think about psychological help. Perhaps he could have developed more about this, but it was difficult. And sometimes we had proposals from embassies to pay for something and not for another thing. And we had no help from Cambodia, for example. So it was, we have to do with what we, what the people supposed to pay can propose.
Gotcha. You
understand?
Yes, okay. Yes, that absolutely makes sense. Thank you. So in your opinion, do you think that the ECCC might have approached reparations in a better way, or do you think they did a pretty good job of how they chose the reparations?
In the trial number two, where I was, we had for, I think, 15 reparations, and we had 13, so it was rather great. But I think it would, it could, we could have a fund, so it could have been more, it could have been easier to have reparations if there was a fund to pay for this and not as to us. But we had what we had, but I think it was really difficult. It could have been easier.
Gotcha.
Like ECC, like CPY, you no, in English it is.
ICTY?
Yeah. No, at the International Court.
Uh-huh. ICC, okay. Yeah.
ICC.
Yeah, okay, got it. So how do you feel, do you think that in future courts or future international tribunals, civil party participation should be included, or is it better to handle reparations or victim participation in another way, do you think?
I'm sure that civil party should be included. That's my conviction because I'm a civil law lawyer. Sure. I think it's very important to understand the difference between prosecutor and civil party. And I think that it's necessary to bring the voice of civil party, but not only this. I think they have to participate. They have rights to ask for something. And at the ECCC, they did. They made something very important in the trial. About proofs and other things, but I'm not sure that international justice is ready for accepting civil party, and I'm sure that they don't want.
Based on our interviews so far, I think it is probably going to be a challenge going forward, but hopefully they can work something out. All right. What do you think about the civil party representation at the ECCC worked well, and which parts needed improvement? As far as the court's structure and processes go?
It was rather good after months, I mean. But some things were very for example, civil party lawyers, I have not the same salary. They have not the same offices. They have not the same help from the ECCC than defense or prosecutor. Mm-hmm. There is a difference, like between men and women in the world, we can say. But civil party are the women in the ECCC, if you can see what I mean. And sometimes they are not at the beginning. We have not the same regard from other parties and from the judges as the defense, which is the defense and the prosecutors, and we were under them, in my feeling, I mean. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important, if we want to introduce civil party in the trial, it's really important to give it the same place and the same respect. So sometimes it was difficult, not always and not at the end. It was better and better, but it's difficult. After this, I think... for the first time in this international justice, it was rather well, and it was we had a place. We could do things. We could submit. We could write submissions, and we obtained some things important. So it was rather good. I'm an optimist.
Excellent. It's good to hear that it improved. Were there any best practices that you saw at the ECCC that you thought were good or helpful?
Practices, I don't know. I'm looking at my... You mean about the court again, or?
Yeah, or courts or civil parties in particular, either way.
I think that about the collective representation, perhaps I can say something. Sure. I think it was lead co-lawyers were created just when I arrived. I was the first, and Ang Pik was the first in national lawyers. And it could be improved. And it's very interesting to have a collective representation, because there were frozen civil parties victims, so it was impossible to have many lawyers. It's important to have a common defense, a common voice, only one voice. So it was a good idea, but it needs to be improved so that we can have a big team and means to make this collective representation accepted and good. You mean? You understand?
Yeah, great, thank you. What about lessons learned or recommendations you would have for future international courts? Any stories you can tell us from the ECCC of how you might make recommendations for future courts?
I am not sure I'm the good person to make recommendations to an international court. Perhaps what I said before is some kind of recommendation, because I can express some critics. What we have to keep is a possibility to permit persons to make testimonies. I think that testimonies is really something important in courts. I know that it's very long, very difficult to organize, but I think this is something we have to keep. And after this recommendation, if we can permit something more, it's very long. I mean, and even now, the CCC have still some challenge to answer right now. But it's very long, and people in the world, and even in Cambodia, they have enough. They are not so interested now as they were at the beginning. So the it's too long, and we should try to make something more
condensed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's very expensive to the cost of. So I don't know how to improve this. But I think it's a real problem.
Yeah, you are definitely not the only one who feels that way. So maybe keeping some of those things in mind and thinking about your work at the ECCC, what challenges do you think future courts handling mass atrocities like this will face?
I'm looking at my I think I answered before because I see the different international courts and sometimes in Africa sometimes at the ICC, and I see that everything is a problem. I don't know how to make only one kind of international justice to answer each case. And I see that it's very difficult, not so. Sometimes it's good to be in the country, but being in the country has also its problems. And when we are far from the country, it's also a problem. So I don't know how to make a consensus. It's really difficult for me to imagine the ideal court. And I see that it's still very difficult, and I have no answer. I don't know how to answer this. I think it's very important to bring an answer when we have crime like this, and I think genocide and all these crimes, we have to bring an answer. But I don't know what's the best way, and still now, even after trying different things. So I don't know what to say.
Sure. It's a hard question. Well, we're hopefully some researchers will be working on some answers and we can use their help. Yeah. That's one of our goals for this project is to make more resources available to them so we can get some answers. Keeping in mind what has been released to the public, were there any accused or survivor stories that came across the ECCC that really resonated with you, that meant something to you?
I always think about a woman, a victim, who tried to explain how she had her son in her arms, and she saw her son dying, and she could not give him some rice or something, and she looked at him and she explained how she was she had no possibility to do anything to him, and he died, and she explained it. Which is the important thing in Cambodia, and a woman explained that she saw her parents on the sand, and they had a ball, and they had for rice, and they could not have rice, and they were just, and she could not do anything, and she saw her parents in such they were on the sand, they could not do anything, and they were not respectable. You understand what I mean? I try to explain.
Sure.
It was something absolutely impossible to understand for Cambodian people, such a situation. And it was very, and about the accused, I could say that their capacity to deny and to stay, to keep silence during all the trial, this is something which which resonated for me like something very amazing. Okay.
Yeah, I can only imagine what all of that must have been like. So thinking forward a bit, what do you think the major impacts of the ECCC will be for Cambodia, both today and maybe 20 years from now?
I'm sure that the trial, even difficult, even difficult, it's a good thing for Cambodia. I'm sure of this from the beginning, because it has been a possibility to speak about the story, and some people, they spoke for the first time about this, and I think it's important for young Cambodian to know about this, and DCCAM was really helpful for this, because from the beginning, DCCAM is there and trying to following this trial, and I think we victims and needed to speak, and young people, they need to hear about this. They have to know that they cannot continue their story not knowing what happened before, even 45 years ago. It's really important, and the trial was really something which did that. So,
Yeah, great. Well, thank you for sharing all of that with us. Before we finish, is there anything we haven't talked about that you would like to say or that you think is important?
No, I think it's okay. I think really the ECCC and this trial, I think, was very useful, and I was very proud and happy to do what I did there and what the other people did also. But I'm asking some, I don't know how the trial will continue now. I'm looking at this. It's a question, and so I try to follow the story, but I'm a bit I don't know how it will continue. It's a question.
Yes. A question we all want to know the answer to, I think. We'll find out, I guess. All right. Well, thank you so much for this. We really appreciate your time.
I'm sorry for my English.